Welcome to Street Talk Theology with Pastor Dominic Grimaldi. Pastor Dom went from a life of organized crime to federal prison. There, God saved him and set him free. Soon after his release, he attended seminary and received his master's degree and is now the senior pastor of Desert Sky Baptist Church, where he serves with a passion for biblical theology right here in Casa Grande. Now let's join our host, Pastor Dominic Grimaldi.
Pastor Dominic Grimaldi here with Street Talk Theology, where again we take theology and bring it to the streets. With no further ado, we want to get back into the prophet Hosea in a sermon I preached called Death to Life, talking about the other dimensional thinkers, the prophets. So with no further ado, part two, and hope you enjoyed and were challenged by part one. Okay, back in verse three. Right? It said, like the image depicts, Israel was fickle, half-hearted in their worship. In verse 6, they had forgotten God. Now in verses 7 and 8, we have attacks. God will attack prideful people. Not a good place to be. Right? So, this is the other metaphors, right? This attack stuff. Now, think about this. In verse 5, Yahweh becomes a wild beast. Well, in verse 7 and 8, Yahweh becomes a wild beast of the wilderness. We'll get to that. But in verse 5, he's their savior in the wilderness. But in our earlier metaphors, as we discussed, trusting in nations is like dust in the wind, so to speak. Here they're likened to one who will devour. But now listen, here's this next metaphor, right? Remember, God is the one that will devour through these heathen nations, as we mentioned, right? Garrett is helpful looking at God's description of himself. Look, I mean, to hear God described as beastly in his brutality, devouring human flesh like a lion and like a leopard is jolting. Look at the language. I mean, I will rob you like a bear is robbed of a cubs. I will tear open your chest. Because you're saying, so wait a minute, but that's the nations. No. If the nations are doing that, it's because God has ordained it. And so God is going to devour. Not only is their worship going to be like smoke, but he's going to devour them. And he uses this graphic language. I wonder why they don't want to hear from Hosea. I don't know if any of us would want to hear from him. I, God, will lie in wait by the wayside, verse 7, ready to devour them. Verse 8, tear open their chest that encloses their hearts, rip them open like a lion would. Why is this language used? Why? Because he wants to wake people up. He wants to wake you up. There's too much at stake. It's great stuff, Devon. He wants to wake people up from this drunken stupor that the world just leads us. We become so inundated with the world. We become institutionalized with the world. Complacent. Institutionalized. The same thing every day. And think about this. I'm not trying to be legalistic. You know me better. But how much minutes a day do we give to the Lord? How many hours compared to our meals, our job, our family? Oh no, God's number one in my life. Oh, this. And then you start piling these things. And if you start making a list, you start saying, wait a minute. Who's really the most important person in my life? What's more wow, I'm putting this and that and this. Challenging. That's why a lot of the prophets were stoned, and that's why they were, you know, looked upon like, you know, the Bible calls them madmen, right? In verses 9 through 11, Patterson depicts Israel's low esteem, if not outright disdain for God, will bring its destruction. This will happen despite the availability is their only true help of God. The Bible says, let us not be deceived. God is not mocked. He will not allow himself to be ridiculed or treated with contempt. With a man sows, he will reap. He's a jealous God, man. We don't want to play fast and loose with God. I don't want to play fast. And that's challenging. You listen, I got to write these sermons. If I'm going to get convicted, you're going to be convicted. Because I got to write them. As I'm writing them, I'm saying, man, this is wow. Remember, okay, fast and loose with God. Remember Nadab and Abihu? They brought strange fire into the Lord. They were clipped right on the spot. What about Uzzah and carrying the ark? When it was toppling, he tried to save it. God killed him right on the spot. Playing fast and loose. Right? In fact, look at verse 10. There's no king who can save you. No judges or government officials who can save you. Again, biblical perspective is at the forefront because we know God is the head of all nations, good, bad, or indifferent. Remember the different kings in Hosea vying for position. They had all them kings in Hosea's time all vying for position. Four of them murdered each other. It was just human power. And look, Garrett reminds us, I'll give you a king in my wrath, verse 11. Who's the king that God's going to give them in his wrath? Assyria, right? He's going to take away the king of Israel, bring him into captivity. I'm going to give you a king. You want to trust in Assyria so much? You want to trust in these things? I'm going to give you what you want. I'm going to give you the king in my wrath. I'm going to give you Assyria. You know what Calvin said? Now, I want all of us to think about this. Just come back for a second. 20 minutes, we'll be out of here. Just listen, think about this. Think about what Calvin said. When God wants to judge a wicked nation, he gives them wicked rulers. How about, want to hear that again? When God wants to judge a wicked nation, he doesn't allow them to have wicked rulers. He gives them wicked rulers. Way above our pay grade. This should at least be a consideration in our own nation. The leadership in our country, as we speak, is against the mandates of God. And this premise that led us away from biblical truth was defined by Davidson in his book, Pagan America, as he depicted that religious truth is not... Now, here's what they say. Religious truth is now discoverable by human reason. Where do they get this stuff from? Now they say religion is subjective, a matter of personal conviction or preference. Little by little, the states, by these court rulings, become neutral, basically saying, do what you want to do, we're not getting involved. So church has now become subjective, not objective. See, when it's subjective, you don't have to go by the objective word of God. It becomes what you feel. In fact, the liberal wing of the PCA is called Side B, which is a belief that same-gender relationships are not a morally culpable issue. It's a consequence of brokenness. It claims that parts of same-sex attraction can be recorded and turned into holiness. They call this redirection. I call it blasphemy. Redirection. Look at these words they come up with. Where do they find them? Redirection. Where's it in the Bible? In fact, they say boldly, same-sex attraction is not something to renounce, but something to use for holiness. You think I'm making this up, right? No, I'm not. This is the liberal wing of the PCA. 12 and 13. Oh, good job. The iniquity of Ephraim is bound up. His sin is stored up. The pains of childbirth come upon him. He's not a wise son, for it is not the time that he should delay at the opening of the womb. Shall I ransom them from... Oh, I'm sorry, 12 and 13, my bad. The iniquity of Ephraim is bound up. His sin is stored up. The pains of childbirth come upon him. He's not a wise son, for it is not the time that he should delay at the opening of the womb. Quickly. In 12 and 13 is a metaphor. It's not an easy one to discern. And I had to consult a couple of comments. These are more metaphors, right? Think about our earlier context. Now you have to remember, there's no way you could remember this, but I had to remind myself too when I preached it. Ephraim, remember Ephraim represented the hierarchy of Israel. That way Ephraim represented Israel. So Ephraim is like a woman going into labor whose child is breech. Now watch this. Meaning it's not in the proper position to survive. Such that both the mother and the child are likely to die. The midwives of those days would be familiar. With that being said, Hosea's metaphor represents the hierarchy of Israel, the mother, and the child of people are doomed. So that's the metaphor. I mean, we had to remember we said that Israel represented the leadership of Israel, Ephraim, the leadership, the kings and the governors, and the children in the marriage, remember between Homer and Gomer and the marriages, the children represented the people. So you got the hierarchy and the people going in the same direction. That's the metaphor. It's a tough metaphor, but that's what the metaphor means. So Hosea is speaking highly theological terms, and the theological issue is the death of a nation and the death of its people. And that's huge today. Verse 14, I want to read that alone. This is deep stuff. And then, because when I get to, okay, so let me give you a hint because I'm trying to, okay. This is the text that Paul's going to use when we get to the New Testament. So this verse 14 is where Paul is. This is why I start in the Old Testament. Because we would not get what Paul is saying unless we understand it here. So let's read 14 by itself. And it says, shall I ransom them from the power of Sheol? This is God speaking in the first person. This is interesting. Shall I ransom them from the power of Sheol? Hosea has already preached this daunting message. Shall I redeem them from death? O death, where are your thorns? O Sheol, where is your sting? Compassion will be hidden from my sight. Now we swing. Listen, you want to swim in deep waters in the Bible? You're swimming in them right now. Now this is an important part of the text because it's going to lead us to our New Testament control. There's two questions here. The first question is, since both entities have died, Israel and its people, meaning Assyria will take them into captivity. That's the context. That's the original context. The second question is, will I leave them in the grave, so to speak? And the metaphor here is that God, as Garrett depicts, intends to redeem the nation back from death. It's resurrection language. And I love this because now God is contemplating what he's going to do. Remember back in chapter 11, I know this is hard. Remember when Hosea said, when the Lord was speaking, how can I give you up, O Ephraim? How can I hand you over, O Israel? My heart recoils within me. And then in chapter 1, call his name not my people, yet it still be said of them, meaning Israel, the sons of the living God. So in this case, in verse 14, it depicts resurrection language in a sense, bringing life out of death, just as we see with the prophet Ezekiel writings, that we must keep in our watch pockets. So here's what, I love this. So here's the prophet saying, you guys are going in captivity. You've destroyed the nation and the people. Everybody's getting pinched. Everybody's going to prison. Everybody's going in captivity. And then God says, should I give them up? Should I turn them over? Will I have mercy on them? Well, and this is the picture. Thank God for this picture, right? Because this is the picture of God saying, wait a minute. And now Paul is going to use this. He's a prophet, Paul, but he's going to use this. So just keep that in your watch box. This resurrection language, you know, being risen from the dead, so to speak, taken out of captivity, right? So this compassion, now the compassion at this time will be hidden from God's sight. Because they are going into captivity, but we know that God is full of mercy and compassion for his people. And you know what, Mr. Vaughn? Sometimes God has to wound before he can heal. Sometimes he has to wound. Maybe this morning, You may not be where you want to be, and God is wounding you in the spirit and say, man, maybe that dude with that funny accent is saying something that I need to think about. Right? 15 and 16, then we'll go to the New Testament. Let me just finish the text. I want to take just a minute to thank the folks at MyPillow who make this show possible. MyPillow is excited to announce they're having a huge spring sale. Here are a few examples. Buy one MyPillow 2.0 and get another one absolutely free. These pillows are made with a cooling technology, which means the best pillow just got even better. And this just in. 9 brand new colors and styles of their Percal bed sheets, a wonderful array to choose from. In fact, they're made with the finest long staple cotton, and now you can save 50% or more. That's as low as $24.98 a set. And there's more. For the first time this year, the My Slippers and Sandals for as low as $25 a pair. So go to MyPillow.com right now and use promo code STREETTALK or call 1-800-519-7306 to get MyPillow 2.0. In fact, you can buy one and get one free. For a limited time, when you order $75 or more, your entire order ships absolutely free. So go to MyPillow.com and use promo code STREETTALK. This will kind of go back to where we're at. That 14 is huge, though. Though he is fruitful among the reeds, an east wind will come, the wind of Yahweh. Now, the east wind here of Yahweh is Assyria. Coming up from the wilderness, and his fountain will become dry, and his spring will be dried up. It will be plunder his treasury of every desirable article. Samaria will be held guilty. She's rebelled against her God. They'll fall by the sword. Their infants will be dashed in pieces, and their pregnant woman ripped open. Tough stuff, man. Listen, don't charge me. Charge the Spirit of God. Here Hosea speaks this devastating language. Captivity would bring the riches and fruitfulness of Israel to nothing. It will be torn apart by one coming from the east, that's Assyria, and it is God who causes Assyria to infiltrate his own people as their water and their riches will be dried up. Verse 16, the fertility cult is brought up again, the killing of babies before they are even born, showing here that there's life in the womb. Devastating language here. But like Kidner depicts, this would not be the last word from God. Carolyn, we thank God for that. He does not let it, we thank God for that. Let us now try to bring some encouragement for the people of God, remembering God is a restorative God and his mercy. Go to 1 Corinthians 15. Let's close it out here. Let me just take a deep breath for a second. I got to just, so I can, because this is a little hard stuff. So, and we're done in like 5 minutes. So let me just take a breath. Everybody go to 1 Corinthians 15. Paul is going to actually quote from Hosea. And I'm saying to myself, man, if you don't read Hosea, how the heck do you know what Paul is saying? How do you know what he's meaning? How do you know what he's saying? So think about this. Let me give you the background before we go there, right? God, he sends his people into Assyrian captivity. But then he has this compassion that he's not going to leave them there. He's eventually going to come and get them. And he gives you hints of that throughout the book of Hosea. So my question is, why does Paul quote this? Why does Paul take this language? And if you had the Septuagint, it'd be exactly the same language. But why does Paul take this and apply it to us? Or how does he apply it to us? So let's go to 1 Corinthians 15. Let me start in 54 as we close this out. But when the incorruptible or the perishable, when the corruptible puts on the incorruptible, and this mortal puts on immortality, then will come about the word that is written, this is Hosea, death is swallowed up in victory. O death, where is your victor? Where is your victory? O death, where is your sting? Now the sting of death is sin, and the power of sin is the law. But thanks be to God who gives us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. Therefore, that's, let me stop right there. Now Paul quotes from Hosea 13 and 14, depicting that true victory for God's people is in the resurrection of Christ, where the perishable body will now take on the imperishable. So where God is speaking about being taken out of captivity, now what Paul is doing, he's taking this same language and he's saying, now God's going to take you out of the captivity of this body. He's going to take this corruptible body and make it incorruptible when he comes home. What a picture. Now, in the Hosea text, it would be a look-see to the eventual deliverance from the judgment of Assyrian forces, but that was temporal victory. But here, Paul prophetically speaks of eternal victory. Like Beale depicts that death is drained of its potency for the people of God. There's no sting in death. Listen, if you're a Christian, death will not sting you. It's been taken away of its potency. This is a true reversal of fortune. The perishable now will put on the imperishable. And like Beale depicts, Paul turns a text about judgment into one declaring salvation. Miss Carolyn, when I was writing this, you know who I was thinking about, right? I mean, you think about this. Weak because we're not under the law, and the resurrection of Christ signals the beginning of a new age of redemption for God's people. The mystery that surrounds Hosea's promise of victory over death has been answered in Christ. Praise God, man. It's been answered in Christ. And I'm saying, Paul, how do you get this? And he's saying, because I'm a lot smarter than you, I'm a prophet and you're not. But he gets it, and I get it now. What a picture of grace. Maybe Hosea did not see no compassion at that time, but he knew it would come. How far reaching is that text? It's reaching right in these pews this morning. We've been redeemed. What Christ has done on the cross, after judgment, there is salvation. For Israel, it would be eventual deliverance from the enemy Assyria. But for the judgment that we deserve, which is hell, which has been taken on by Christ, who knew no sin, became sin, so we can become the righteousness of God in Christ. And verse 57 proclaims, thanks be to God who gives us victory in the context, eternal victory through our Lord Jesus Christ, who stands in our stead. What a picture. What a Savior. The certificate of death has been, the certificate of death has been ripped up. The certificate that had our name that said we are on our way to hell has been shredded because he nailed it to the cross. Praise God, man. Here, Mr. Vaughn. You can have that. It's been ripped up. Yeah, put it in the Bible, Mr. Remind me when I need to be reminded. Miss Carolyn, Paul, man, he gets that. And he says, man, look at this. The way that God was going to bring them out of Assyria, there was no sting in that captivity. Paul says, you know what? That's the resurrection. That's the eternal message that Hosea is preaching and turns into the way Paul lays it out in 1 Corinthians. Praise God for that. Praise God. Praise God, Harlan, for the prophets, man, who can see things other dimensionally, Gil. We turn around and read this and say, man, what the heck is going on? But no, when we get the understanding, Gay, of what God is saying, and then Paul just, Terry, just brings it to life for us. We rejoice. Well, you know, Christians shouldn't be like, I mean, we have a lot to rejoice about. And you know what? Alyssa, we get to eat lunch together today. We have to have, we can fun. We can watch the, hopefully the Yankees will win. We can watch the Yankees. I mean, whatever. God has given us those gifts. But it doesn't end there, Terry. Dave, it doesn't end there. But we still can enjoy. And the world is going to go on. You ain't going to change the world. Believe me. I know Harlan wants to change the world, but we can't do it. We can't do it. I wish we could. But someday, Sue, someday, when he returns, I don't know if it's going to be street, might be streets of trouble, whatever it is, it'll be much more glorious than it is now. And it's not bad for us right now, really. It's not that bad. Let's stand. You guys want to go eat? You guys want to go eat? Dear Lord, as Charlie just, for a few minutes, just as we contemplate on what was said this morning, you know, let us just think about all the wonderful gifts that you've given us, Lord. Really. But let us not put the gift before the giver. Let us be thankful, mindful, prayerful. But let us put you first, Lord. Because listen, if you are a Christian, death is going to have no sting. It's only going to be a transference from this earthly domain until to the heavenly domain. The Bible says, absent with the body, present with the Lord. So praise God for that. Praise God for being the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, the God of the living. Bless these men and women this morning who labored through a long message, but one that I think that we needed to hear, needed to be encouraged. So bless them, Lord, for being attentive, for listening, to trying to grasp. None of this stuff is easy, and our flesh fights against it. Start thinking about so many other things, but thank you, Lord, today that we can, together as a people of God, just look at these scriptures and say, wow, what a God we serve. What a mighty God we serve.
Again, Street Talk Theology. We take theology and bring it to the streets. Hope you enjoyed part two of our sermon in Hosea, From Death to Life. So thank you so much for listening. Again, I want to thank Grace 91.1 FM and MyPillow for sponsoring. Okay, guys, God bless.
Thank you for joining us for Street Talk Theology with Pastor Dominic Grimaldi. You can visit Pastor Dom at Desert Sky Baptist Church at 891 West Corson Road, Casa Grande. And for more information, visit us online at www.desertskybaptist.org.